Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to this Sunday's podcast. I am Waitha from Life by Waitha, and I am doing this on another Sunday. I think that the direction that I'm going in is to do this twice a month. So this way I could do it in a relaxed environment. I'm not bombarded. I don't feel overwhelmed by things that I have to do or get done, or, you know, I got other stuff to do, y'all, other stuff. So the title of this is all about sleep anxiety. And I know I've shared this on a previous post, but yeah, so this is episode 2, Life by Waitha podcast, sleep anxiety. And again, I know I've shared this on the blog previously, but I have, as an adult, suffered with issues of sleep, the lack of sleep, trying to get to sleep, and just trying to have a restful sleep, because I'll sleep, but it won't be restful, or I'm tossing and turning. So, it began. I want to say that my trouble with sleep began when Bianca, for those of you who don't know, Bianca is my daughter, was in between 6th and 8th grade, something like that. I would have issues sleeping. I could not fall asleep. If I did, it would be between midnight and 3 a.m. And then when I would finally get to sleep, I would toss and turn. And then I would wake up because I was going to work. It was, you know, the thing that you do when you have school-age kids. You get up, you get them ready, you get yourself ready, you get lunches, you pack bags, you know, make sure she's dropped off. Then I have to get myself to work. I'm dealing with work and stress. And I just assumed that it was an inability to unwind. I was so plugged into work. And again, this is the infancy stages of work where I had a boss that wasn't all that pleasant, and he did not make it easy or pleasant for me on a regular daily kind of basis. And I think I didn't take that off, you know, when I left work. I kind of kept that with me. And I think some of that may have contributed to my sleep stress and my sleep anxiety. So, you know, what do you do when you're having problems? You see your doctor. So that was the backstory. Now let's go to the meds story. So I see my doctor, and it's interesting, around this time, which right now I can't do math. Hold on, let me try to do some math. This would have to be around 2005, because I'm thinking that Bianca was about 13. And she's 30 now, so just to give you some perspective. So I went to my doctor, and it's, like I said, it's interesting. Around this time, between 2004 up until, at least 2010, I always used to see commercials about Ambien and Lunesta, these drugs that would help you sleep. It just so happened that when I went to my doctor and I'm like, you know, hey, I'm having trouble, you know, getting to sleep and staying asleep. And she gave me this questionnaire and, you know, answered all of the questions. And she started me off on a sample. She didn't actually prescribe it. She gave me a sample of Lunesta. I'm pretty sure that's what it's called, if my memory serves. And so I started taking Lunesta, and I was taking it every night because it was the one thing that basically, I read the label, I read the warnings. When you take this drug, you got to be ready for sleep, because it took no more than 45 minutes to work. And a weird sensation of it working is kind of like being on dope. or on a drug that's really powerful. I would get like this nasty taste coming up in my throat. I hope I'm not grossing nobody out. It's kind of like bile, this nasty taste coming up in my throat. And 15 minutes later, out. And I would sleep straight through the night, maybe tossing and turning a little. This is the age before Fitbits, y'all. But I really wouldn't remember anything. I don't believe that I woke up more rested. I actually think I woke up more groggy. So for the first, let's say I only took it on the weekday, and I had like 10 pills. So let's say she gave it to me on a Wednesday. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I take it. Wouldn't take it on the weekends. Would take it during the week. And I was so, like, it left me so groggy. Like, it was really hard to function. And I think I might have stayed on that pill, excuse me, for about, I don't know, maybe three months or so. And after a while, I just did not like the groggy feeling. And soon enough, I started sleeping on my own, which I guess is the goal, to start sleeping on your own. I would do different things, like started doing yoga, started exercising, and I wasn't doing yoga every day. You know, I wasn't hardcore like I am now, y'all. It was just, you know, every now and then. And then eventually, I was going to sleep on my own. So let's fast forward. That's 2005, right? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't remember having any issues of sleeping until about 2010 or 2011. By this time, my daughter is in college. And I do notice some trouble sleeping, but I attributed that to, you know, her being away, me being alone. I was in a new place, y'all. I was in my deluxe apartment in the sky. This was the beginning stages. And so I attributed it to that, and I was still struggling. And this is also when I would feel these weird sensations. And also, let me back up, because I got notes, y'all, and I'm still got notes and still can't get it right. So let me back up. So part of the anxiety too I was having with sleep is itching. Now, I don't know where it's coming from, but I would legit take a shower, get out of the shower, and I would feel tingly, itching sensations starting from my legs, moving up my body to my face, my ears, my scalp. And it was legit like the worst feeling that one could experience. But like I said, I think all of these things were contributing to my sleep situation. So yeah, like I said, it mysteriously just went away. And then fast forward years later, it came back again. But this time, the sleep trouble that I was having was coupled with menopause. I would wake up in the middle of the night. I get a hot flash, and then the hot flash, because if you sweat, you know, you itch. It's basically how it is. If your skin gets sweaty and you can't alleviate yourself, you're going to start itching. So the sweat would lead to itching, and then I'm cold, and then I'm awake, and just, you know, all sorts of stuff. Also, the mattress that I had at the time and me having back trouble. So I'm telling you, over time, I have done all of the things to try to help with my sleep. I got a purple mattress, the first edition purple mattress, which for the first 2 weeks of having that mattress, I slept like I don't even remember. I would lay down and I was out. And then it's like once my body got used to it, I stopped having the ability to fall asleep naturally. Like I would be thinking about the day or my work day or meetings that I had. I had a lot of trouble trying to unplug. So again, what I'm talking about now is all leading up to still was happening, and these are all like contributing factors, like leading up to my sleep problem. Because I think I even talked about that in my last podcast, how, you know, I still have some trouble, and I talk about it in my blog all the time, because here we are in 2022 and I'm still having that same trouble. I think around the holidays. No, not just the holidays. I'm moving ahead. So I was still struggling, like in September, just being able to get 4 hours of sleep, and then waking up feeling tired, and then having anxiety about those 4 hours and stressing about those 4 hours. And then I'm doing Calm app, I'm doing Headspace, I'm taking melatonin, dream sleep gummies. I am like the Z-Quil, all of good stuff. So also, because I was still on meds, so I'm trying to just lead all of this into, this is not really medication. Gummies and vitamins are, you know, supplements. But I have gotten to a point where I said, you know what? I can't rely on this stuff forever and always. You have to try to retrain your brain and your body how to sleep. And I think the main thing I'm trying to like swing around to here is you can't keep beating yourself up about what you can't do. If you miss sleep, you really can't get it back. I mean, people are like, oh, if I miss, you know, sleep, I'll just go to sleep the next day. That's a different day. That's a different groove, different things. You know what I'm saying? You can't really make up sleep in that way. All you can do is, well, I'll try to be better. But I think my problem is I was trying and still am too hard to fall asleep. And again, a lot of that anxiety and the reason why I can't sleep, I am carrying with me. I can remember like just back in December, turning on jazz or turning on sleep ambient music and not wanting to cut on the TV and just laying awake for hours. Finally, it's 4 a.m. and between 4, I call that my sweet spot. Between 4 and 7 a.m. is the best sleep I have had ever. Something about everything else, it's just like that light sleep. That is like good sleep for me. So for some reason, something is or isn't clicking in my brain. And you know, you try to do all of the things that you're told that might help you without the aid of drugs. So let me go over that list. So 1, stop bringing the laptop to bed, because yes, I do, because I'm always working on it. Working meaning working on the blog, or I'm making lists, or I'm creating graphics, because that's just something that I like to do and it helps my busy brain. I'm playing that Project Runway game or Candy Crush Honey or honey, I am playing games. So I stopped doing everything. I don't have my phone in bed. I don't have my laptop in bed. I turn the computer off. I do some yoga. I meditate. I take my gummy and I lay down and I legit look at the ceiling for 3 hours. And I'm like, this is not working. And I can't continue to beat myself up about it not working. If I get, you know, one of my YouTube folks that I used to look at, well, not used to look at, sorry, still watch, because he's taking a break, said that he's always suffered from problems of having sleep. Now, granted, I have not been awake for 8 straight days. That's straight gangster. You would have to commit me if something like that was happening, because once you're up for more than 48 hours, you're going to start to hallucinate because your body needs sleep. But I have had endless nights where my skin will start itching and then I'm up for the next 3 hours, or I'm replaying the day and I'm up. I just have a problem unplugging. But the one thing I'm trying to do moving forward in 2022 is, again, like I keep hammering in my brain, not beating myself up about the sleep that I can't get. If I get 6 hours, great. If I only get 4, great. Be happy with that. Move on and try to get better sleep the next time. Right now, I don't have a remedy. I have not sat down to talk with anyone, which, you know, I've been trying to get around to finding the time to do. I want to say my sleep score is probably about a 70, which, you know, I guess is good. It could be a lot worse. It's a 70, but it's only fair, meaning that when I look at my tracker and I see like what's happening, I'm like only like 10% in REM. The bulk of the time is spent in light sleep. And I know this because I'm tossing and turning. Now, recently, meaning just within the last couple of days, I have started taking a Benadryl and my sleep gummy. And of course, I sleep great. But let me tell you a little story about that. Now, I did mention that to my doctor about how that is the only way to stop the itching. That is the only way to get sleep. And she actually said to me, well, a little bit is not going to hurt you. But I know, and you all know too, I cannot take a little pink pill every night for the rest of my life because just to be able to sleep because my body is going to build up a tolerance to it and then it won't work anymore. Benadryl is for allergies or allergic. For me, it's allergic reactions. That little pink pill stops it right in its tracks, right? So, but that is the one way that I know, okay, I'll take it 2 nights this week, and then the rest of the time I'll rely on my gummies and meditation. I think meditation now, and I'm mad, y'all, because I downloaded the Headspace app, which when I downloaded it, you could get like at least 10% of what's in the little app for free. Now, because of 2020 and all the stress that everyone is feeling because of the big C, nothing is free. I used to be able to do 3-minute breathing exercises morning and night, a sleep coach for 5 minutes at night, and it was so helpful just to get my brain to unplug. And I can kind of recall one of the folks that I was listening to going, You're not gonna master meditation right away. And I think the misconception is that if you meditate, boom, you're gonna be better. Meditation takes time to learn, like anything takes time to learn. And so in order to learn it, you gotta practice. You gotta keep meditating. Sometimes it takes your mind, you have to train your brain to unwind. He said, if you drift off, if you drift to other things, that's fine. Acknowledge that you drift. Put it out of your mind and move on. From time to time, you will drift because I could try to meditate and I'm thinking about, okay, I'm going to go downstairs, take my vitamins, eat my breakfast. Okay, stop. Think about what he's saying. But again, mistakes are okay. And I think that's the biggest hurdle that we as adults have to get over. You're not going to do everything perfect. Your mom, your dad, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your teacher, your mentor, and you do all those things well and people come to rely on you, but you yourself have to realize that you are allowed mistakes. You're not going to jump into things. That's like trying to do yoga if you've never bent your body that way before. Your body's going to be like, what are you doing? Put me back or else we're going to have some issues. Like anything, it just takes time to learn and to train your body. So my remedy, and to try to put this all in a little basket and wrap it up, is I am trying to train my mind and my body to relax when it's time to relax. From 8 in the morning till 9 at night, I'm focused on work for a certain amount of hours. I'm so focused on family for a certain amount of hours and creating. After 10 o'clock, it's time to do those pre-bedtime things. relax and unwind. And I read at night. I look at TV at night. I do all of the things that I would normally do. But I'm trying to get in the practice of meditating just 5 minutes a night to just help me unplug and help me feel tired. Like what's happening now, which is good, I'm actually feeling like when I'm reading, I can barely keep my eyes open, and that's what I love. I'm like, oh good, I'm sleepy, so let me hurry up and put everything away so I can take advantage of actually feeling sleepy and feeling tired. And you know another thing too, if I'm not tired, I'm not going to force sleep. If I'm not tired, I'm not going to turn all the lights off and turn everything off and lay here for 3 or 4 hours. If I'm not tired, I'm going to acknowledge that I'm not tired. I'm not sleepy. Maybe read a little bit. Maybe, you know, work on something. Maybe look at some pictures. I'm always looking at art and pictures. Let me look at some pictures, because those types of things help to ease my anxiety. Now, I'm not going to pull out a project and start working, because that's going to require me to move and get up and not really be in the right headspace to relax. But again, I am doing the things that I need to do, which is taking ownership that every night is not going to be a perfect night's sleep. If I'm not tired, I'm not going to force sleep. If I don't get enough sleep, I'm not going to beat myself up about it. And last but not least, I'm just going to try to be happy with me. So often, we are the biggest critics of self. And I need to learn to just release that negativity. Because even as old as I am, with everything that happens, there is still negativity. There's still me being my biggest critic and that self-doubt that also leads into... See, for people that aren't sensitive to sleep, if you can lay down and your head hits the pillow and you're gone, that's the most beautifulest thing in this world. Now, I'm going to give y'all extra points if y'all know that song. But anyway, I digress. If you can get what you need, awesome. If you can lay down and hit that bed and be asleep, awesome. My daughter is, when she cuts off her light, in 5 minutes she's asleep. And that's excellent. For me, it's not like that. I'm still lingering for an hour. Right now, I've set a bedtime for 11:40 and for me to wake up at 8, but my bedtime is usually 12:30. I'm happy with 12:30. I'm cool. If it's 12:30, if it's 1, I'm cool. I'm getting antsy if it's 2 or 3, because then I'm going to be up. So again, I'm trying to adopt just letting all of that negativity go, not judging, being happy, and not beating myself up about the lack of sleep. You know, in this climate, people have more anxiety and stress than ever because the most simplest things have been taken away from us. So I am here. If people want to leave comments and we can have a conversation, I am here. I am available as I get ready to close this out now because I have talked long enough. But I'm always here. I'm always available. Leave me comments. I'll try to get back to you as soon as possible. I want to thank you again if you took the time this Sunday to listen to me and, you know, give it thought. Please make sure to subscribe and or follow, as I really appreciate each and every wonderful person that does. Thank you for your support. And that is going to end it for me today. I hope I close this up. I'll probably revisit this subject in about 4 months or so, just to give everyone an update to let them know if the things that I'm implementing are working, you know? With that, like I said, let me close it up. Everyone have a blessed Sunday, a blessed week. And as I always like to close out this podcast, know thyself. Peace, y'all.